Welcome to Now Open the Podcast, the sex education podcast that's more sex than education. I'm Drew.
I am Jobim.
And I'm Sab. Hi.
So this week, along with Sab, we're going to take a peek behind the curtain of some major extramarital affairs. Some of the other woman, the other man, my husband's boyfriend's cousin's lover. This is the history of mistresses and mistresses. For part one, we'll talk about the infamous kibitz throughout history, including the mistress who won Anne Boleyn, Madame de Pompadour, and one of history's most famous male lovers, Grigory Potemkin. So some trigger warnings here. Obviously, we're going to talk about cheating. We'll also have some trigger warnings for murder and violence.
This podcast deals with themes, languages, and situations that may not be suitable for young audiences. If you're under the age of 18, parental guidance isn't going to help you here.
So tonight's amazing guest is historian, sex comedian, and the host behind WhatsApp, Araling Panlipunan Rebooted, Sab Schnabel. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello. Hello. And you're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
So Sab, before we start on our rundown of some of history's most important kibitz and lovers, I want to ask, why? Why mistresses? Why kibitz?
Well, we were trying to think about what would be like a really good thing to talk about. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is just like, we always talk about marriage like it's happily ever after, especially for kings and queens and princes and whatever, right? Like it always seems like you marry the king, you marry the prince, and then it's done. You get to be happy forever or whatever. But mostly, marriages between royalty are just like arrangements made by parents for land and land rights. So they're not really romantic things. They're just contracts. And so throughout the ages, like love has sort of prevailed in like different situations because sometimes our understanding of a word like marriage is something completely different from their understanding of a word like marriage. And that's something I like to talk about a lot when it comes to history, is like our sensibilities are completely different from other people's sensibilities. History is a foreign country and you don't know the culture. And so you sort of have to learn it. And that's what I love. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. We as a society have long looked down on kibitz, like, you know, kibit ka lang. I'm the official wife. Legal wife. Wasn't that the name of Mandela's area or something?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But yeah, we look down a lot on these people because we have all these ideas about commitment, faithfulness, loyalty, and love when there was a time in history when it was the mistress that you loved. In fact, Matt said, one of our customers said, basically, mistresses are for crazy stuff you can't do with your wife who you respect.
Or who you're in a marriage with because it's a business deal, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, like think about it like your wife is the person that you've sort of been told your whole life you have to marry her. Like, you know, when you're put in the same crib as like your like other friends or whatever, and they're your parents are like, this is your friend. And you're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's just like pawns, and it's like a giant chess game of marriages. And so marriage just didn't have the same like love connotation, at least for royalty. Because like if you were lower class, you could get married for love because it's like, meh, you don't have land anyway.
Right.
So why don't you tell us about one of our first mistresses or mistresses for today?
Yeah. Okay. So we are like, first, let me go through the six because we're going to go through a couple of hundreds of years here of mistresses and mistresses, right? So I kind of, when Drew called me up and was like, all right, what do we want to do? And I was like, mistresses and mistresses. I immediately started going through all the ones I wanted to talk about. And there were so many.
So when we're talking like mistresses and mistresses for tonight's episode, we're not meaning specifically like infidelity, right? We're not meaning like people who are hidden away or kept secret. Some of these relationships were like out in the open.
Some of these relationships were official. Like for Madame de Pompadour, she was the official mistress of the king. Like, if you go on Wikipedia, her occupation was chief mistress.
Right.
Like, that's actually a role that you can have. And so we're going to talk about that.
A very different time, very different world.
Yeah. So we're going to start with Anne Boleyn. We're going to go to Madame de Pompadour. We're going to talk about Gregory Potemkin. We're going to talk about two Chinese dowager empresses, Tu Ti and Tu An, Marilyn Monroe and Dovie Beams. So those are the people we'll be talking about today. My honorable mentions were Monica Lewinsky and that girl who peed on Trump.
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. Yeah.
30 minutes.
But Monica Lewinsky is telling her own story. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah. She's producing something. A series where she gets to tell her own side of the story. So
it's showing now. So everybody check it out. Yeah. I watched the first two episodes. It's pretty good.
Right. So tell us about our first mistress for today.
Our first mistress for today is Anne Boleyn. And she is, we're calling her the mistress who won because she is the one who made divorce a thing. And we'll go into that in a second. So she was born in 1501. She died in 1536. We're not going to do that many dates because I hate dates and I think everybody hates dates. So instead, what we're going to do is go into just like the century, the 1500s. What were the Philippines doing in the 1500s? What were we doing around this time?
Getting fucked.
Yeah, we were getting fucked by Magellan. That was the beginning of the Spanish 1521, right smack dab in the middle of this history, we are like getting fucked by the Spanish. But where are we in poofy dress history, which is how we're going to talk about Western history instead of dates? We're not in poofy dress yet. This is still flowy dress history.
Okay.
We're wearing petticoats and stays. We're not yet in corsets and poofy dresses.
So people haven't gotten hot yet.
Oh, people have gotten hot. You should watch the Tudors and the girl they got Natalie Dormer to play Anne Boleyn.
Oh God, ooh. I love me some Natalie Dormer.
I'm sold. And it's Jonathan Rhys-Meyers as Henry VIII. It's really hot.
Equally love me
and
some
Jonathan.
And they're
really hot. Actually, yeah. The reason that Anne Boleyn like and Henry VIII kind of like goes like they how they permeate through the centuries is because they were kind of hot. Like their love was kind of hot. They loved each other.
I don't think Henry VIII was hot.
He was when he was younger. He just wasn't what? When he was older. Oh, yeah. So like, okay. So this is the thing is we're used to hearing about Henry VIII later in life when he's like,
fat.
You know, fat and like he's got the like leg thing. But we're talking about Henry VIII now in his 30s.
Was he hot? So was there a time when like, you know, when you see like old pictures of Mussolini, and you're like young Mussolini could tear this up.
Henry VIII could get it. There is a reason that he had six wives. He could get it when
he was like the monarch.
He was like Jack Nicholson of his time, hot when he was young, and then he just like, I can carry this hot attitude for the rest of my life and not stay hot. I can deteriorate this and stay Jack Nicholson.
Well, that's because he's the monarch. That is the monarch thing. Is like when you're the monarch, you can keep the hotness factor even like though you've stopped becoming hot. So Anne Boleyn was born to Thomas Boleyn and Elizabeth Boleyn. They come from a powerful family, but a noble family, not like a royal family. And so they were professional courtiers. So even before Anne Boleyn caught the eye of the king, her sister was one of the official mistresses.
Okay, so family of courtiers, when you say a family of courtiers, what do you mean? Their family business was to get into being mistresses?
So like kind of. Their whole thing was like getting favors from the king. And one of the best ways to get like favors from the king was to like put eligible daughters in front of the king and be like, look, shiny mistress. Ooh, look, shiny. Give us honors.
So they're kind of like socialites.
Socializing.
Okay. Okay.
And so the king at this point, Henry VIII, is married to Catherine of Aragon, who is the like perfect queen. Like he was like, it's so hard to get rid of her because she was basically like super well connected. She was the princess of Spain. When she and Henry married, it like connected Britain to the continent. And it was a really, really big deal. And she was such a well-beloved figure. Her name is Catherine of Aragon. She was the daughter of Ferdinand Isabella. This is like the paragon of royalty, as you know from six. She's the paragon of royalty.
And she was Spanish, right?
Yeah, and she was Spanish. But she was starting to hit menopause and she couldn't have any more children. And Henry didn't have an heir. And he only had a girl.
A male heir.
Yeah, he needed a male heir.
Not a single heir, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
So he needed a male heir.
Like neck deep. neck deep in like airs and things that like my brain that just went right over my head. So he needed an air. And so he basically was like, all right. So he was kind of vulnerable. And Anne was like, hell yeah. She was really smart and she was really like good at being a courtier. So she sort of like caught his attention and then started to basically string him along, play him. She was really good at being like, come here, come here, come here. No, no, no. Bye-bye. Come here, come here. No, no, no. Goodbye. And basically for ages they did, yeah, very coquettish. And for ages they did anything but and everything but. And he would write her love letters where he talked about kissing her breasts and like, you know, how much he missed her and how much he wanted to be with her. And she would like hold out and he would be like, just be my mistress because I can't divorce the queen. Just be my mistress. And then they fucking go all the way to the Pope to get dispensation to divorce Catherine because he needs an heir. And Anne finally gives in and gets pregnant. And so everyone's like, oh my God, she gets pregnant by Henry. It's going to be a thing. And it's a girl.
The worst thing you can possibly do.
Yeah, the worst thing you could possibly do, and it's a girl. And that late, that girl later becomes Queen Elizabeth. So, like, haha! In the end, the greatest Tudor queen comes from Anne Boleyn,
who was a mistress.
But yeah, illustrious. Really good win. Her legacy is secure. But Anne Boleyn's coquettishness, while cute in a mistress, is not great in a wife. Because you could just imagine, like. He had the like perfect 1950s housewife before who was just like patient and serene and would like look away whenever he would basically be flirting with all of her ladies in waiting because it's Henry VIII, virile, young, all of the ladies waiting. And so Anne, who was well known for being like really cunning and really clever and really like dark and like interesting and like read books and stuff, suddenly Henry's going after her lady in waiting who's the like sweetest, blondest, kind of a dumb blonde, right. Jane Seymour. And she's like so jealous. And so his eye starts to wander. And so, and now that Anne has like gotten him to divorce one queen, what's to stop him from divorcing another queen, right?
Ooh, right.
So she set a precedent. Yeah, because before it was like, no, but she's the queen. No matter what you do, she's the queen. But Anne kind of overthrew the queen. And so now she's the queen. But she doesn't have the same security because of her own machinations. And so she starts
It's kind of like the idea that people have where it's like once a cheater is always a cheater. And like if they cheated on their wife with you, who's to say they won't cheat on you with the next one? And I guess like a lot of people when they're arguing against divorce in the current state, it's always like, oh, well, then like, you know, people are not going to take marriage seriously and they're just going to keep getting divorced. And I'm like, that's not really a thing. But also you look at the first person who ever got divorced and he got divorced 6 times. Well, not really divorced 6 times, but multiple times.
Weren't some of those like beheaded?
Divorce, beheaded, died. Yes. Divorce, beheaded, died.
Survived.
That's the old. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Divorce, beheaded, died. Divorce, beheaded, survived. That's the old adage. Yeah. But yeah, so Anne started to feel the pressures of being queen and begins to miscarry the kids. So she's getting pregnant and she's starting to have miscarriages. And that is like the worst thing you could possibly do as a queen or a princess, because it's like, this is your job, is to have children. And if you're not having children right, then you're screwed. And so
the only thing worse than being born a woman, being born dead in this Yeah.
I would actually think maybe at this point, the way that Henry VIII is thinking, it's like better dead than a woman because he's really looking for that heir.
Yeah, he really
like, he doesn't care if he has daughters. Does he care at all?
No, he doesn't. He already has two.
He's got kids, man.
He actually he wants to fuck around and he does.
Look, he got the lady who had been, as far as he's concerned, had been like stringing him along and that was her allure. Yeah. And then he finally has her and you want what you can't have. Really, it's worse, but it's different. You know, I get that from Family Guy all the time. It's worse, but it's different. So he starts going after this blonde, ditzy, what was she, a chambermaid? Handmaiden?
She was a lady-in-waiting. She was a lady-in-waiting. So like not a chambermaid.
There you go.
A lady-in-waiting is like a companion. You like hang out with the queen a lot. You're like there to do like errands and stuff for the queen. But you're not a chambermaid.
You're a closer friend.
Yeah, paid entourage. Like, slash but you like the entourage, it's not really paid. It's like an honorable thing to be, but you usually have an allowance. And so Henry and Anne start going from being like those sweet, you know, like when a sweet couple, like a couple that's super into each other, start to break up and it's like really bad and stormy.
Yep.
this starts to happen to Anne and Henry. And so it's like, instead of just being like a regular, like, oh, it's like a shitty breakup, it's like a really shitty breakup. They're like screaming at each other. Anne is like, you don't love me. You're just letting anyone into your bedroom. And he's just like, because I'm the king, bitch. And, you know,
what
she's like,
what do you say to that? It's factually correct.
Yeah. And he's, there's nothing to say. And so they're just screaming at each other. And so finally he gets tired of her and she's found guilty of cuckolding the king with a number of courtiers, including her brother.
What?
Wait, she fucked her own brother.
That's what they say. They say that she fucked her own brother trying to get a son. And then like, it would be the king's son because no one else would have fucked her.
I wouldn't put it past Henry because we're close. You know, I wouldn't put it past him to like, if you're trying to drag somebody's name through the mud, right? Because you're trying to separate yourself from them. You'd try to think of the most heinous acts you could possibly think of to really discredit them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the things. It's like you get, it gets, he basically was hated. He hated her at this point. So he just sort of like, I mean, okay, these are the men. Mark Smeaton, Sir Henry Norris, Sir Francis Weston, Sir William Brereton, Sir Thomas Wyatt, and George Boleyn. Like, that's and quite George the gangbang.
Yeah, did she have one? Because that sounds like a fun time. Not with your brother.
Not with
minus
your brother.
The brother.
Minus the brother.
And I so have a she, son, but I don't know whose it is now. One of these guys. He's a sir, though. Unless he's my brother.
No, that's Lord. Her brother was Lord George Boleyn. So that's,
okay, then he'd be a Lord, yeah.
But yeah, so she was found guilty. She spent her last days in the Tower. And a swordsman from France beheads her in 1536.
Ooh,
she was 35.
What a rough way to go.
Now,
actually,
really
it was
divorce.
A better way because an axe man would be harder. Like an axe man like was famous for like not getting the trick done in one jab.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like you could you could be there for a while the guy's just kind of like, at least
the
swordsman
like
is quick.
More humane.
Yeah.
That's
so they're faster and they're sharper.
Yeah.
That's
that's
a lovely image.
Cut through your neck faster.
This is why we have trigger warnings.
Join in on the conversation on the now open PH Discord server, where you'll be free to talk about anything and everything sexuality with like-minded people. Respectfully, of course. You can find the link to the server in the episode description.
All right, well, before we get back into the discussion tonight, here's the newsstand. Nationwide study on youth fertility, sexuality kicks off soon. The fifth installment of the Young Adult Fertility and Sexuality Study, or YAFS, YAFS, of the University of the Philippines Population Institute will kick off soon after the Philippine Statistics Authority, or PSA, issued its approval. YAFS is a cross-sectional survey to generate comprehensive nationally representative data on the reproductive health indicators and sexual and non-sexual risk behaviors of young Filipino adults aged 15 to 24 years old. Objectives of the study are the analysis of pertinent demographic trends by comparing data results with the previous survey, to produce updated information on other equally relevant aspects of adolescent and young people's lives, to provide evidence-based information for pandemic-related policy and intervention targeting adolescent and young people, to potentially contribute to the assessment of previous and current youth-related government and non-government programs and initiatives, and the creation of new policies and interventions. YAFS will collect data from at least 14,000 Filipinos aged 15 to 24 years old and about 14,000 households nationwide from September 15 to November 2021. The results of the survey are scheduled for release in October 2022.
Awesome. It's really good that local governments are doing a survey to listen to the youth who are most impacted, I think, by our sexuality policies. But I hope they actually ask the right questions and that they listen and that they implement that. But this is a really good start. So good job on YAFS, YAFS, and the PSA.
Yeah, good job. Good job. I mean, it's a little weird.
A little late.
Like, I wonder what the sexual habits of 15-year-olds are. But I mean, yeah, it's for a good cause, I suppose.
I mean, considering that the teen pregnancy and, you know, like teen sexual activity rates here are incredibly high, I think it's absolutely necessary to talk to teens about their sexual activity because they are having sex. We had sex at that age. No one gave us a survey.
Yeah, I prefer the people were polling me at the time so they know just how much pussy I was getting, which is zero.
I was going to say, you guys were getting sex at 15? Jesus.
I was the weird fucking virgin I was.
I was the weird kid that liked encyclopedias. I was like, yay.
Sex. Oh, yes. You mean copulation.
You remember that I was the kid that really enjoyed the Nerf guns. And yes.
You're the person who took Austria and Germany hostage during your UN
meeting.
Was
the nerd kid. I was the nerd kid that was like, I'm going to take this stupid school assignment way too far.
And that was the newsstand. Now sitting down. Now on to the show.
All right. So earlier we talked about Anne Boleyn and I guess the history of the first divorce ever. And
well,
not the first divorce ever. Okay, fine.
But let's say first divorce queen.
Yes. Okay. First divorce queen. And I guess probably paved the way for a divorce for everybody else as well.
Probably.
Official institution.
The most anyone had ever worked to get a divorce up until that point. Go straight to the fucking public. Yo.
He literally separated from the church to make the Church of England just to marry her. So I guess
an entire religion. Just,
The C of E.
Say what you want about Anne Boleyn, but that must have been some bomb ass pussy. I'm just saying, she must have been extremely charming and beautiful.
She was very charming. She was supposedly not beautiful, but in the she was striking in that interesting to talk to, charming, interesting to hang out with, but not the hottest one.
In the Natalie Dormer kind of way, where you're
she's hot. No, Natalie Dormer is super hot.
What are you talking about?
Natalie Dormer is super hot. But so that's Anne Boleyn, who was very, and she supposedly learned French tricks is sometimes what people say about her, is that she learned tricks
French
from the
tricks.
French court. Yes, because she grew up in the French court. So she learned French tricks.
The art of seduction and allure.
It's always France that people are always like, oh, the art of seduction and allure. It's France or the Far East. It's always France or the Far East. One of those.
Yeah, because wasn't there like a French aristocrat who died getting a blowjob?
Yeah, probably.
It was in the news. Anyway, that's for a different episode.
This is recently? No.
It was way back when. Philly Dress Times, I think.
Well, okay, so let's go to France. Our next mistress comes from France, so that works out pretty well. Woohoo! Transition.
Love it when it's so seamless, you don't even notice.
As long as we keep mentioning it, it stays funny. So anyway, Madame de Pompadour was born in 1721 and died in 1764. What were we doing in the 1700s? Well, Gabriella Silang was active in 1763. So that was her rebellion in 1763. So this is almost lining up completely with the Madame de Pompadour in 1764. And where are we in poofy dress history, which is how we think about Western history? The West is in peak poofy dress history. This is the Louis we talk about is the grandfather of Louis the 16th, which is even peaker, poofier dresses.
The poofiest.
So these are those poofiest Rococo dresses. Madame de Pompadour was born Jean-Antoinette Poisson to Madeleine de la Motte, who was in Adventureuse. So she has, Jean-Antoinette has a father on record, François Poisson, but Madame de la Motte had a couple of other lovers around that same time. So she's not completely sure which
one.
It's
a Mamma Mia situation.
It's a Mamma Mia situation because it's three. And very quickly, François de Poisson abandons the family for Germany. And one of the other ones, Charles de Normand de Tournem. His name is Le Normand de Tournem.
Yes, Charles de Normand.
Takes over as the protector, basically. And so Jeanne was very well loved. She was called Reinette because a fortune teller had told her mother that she would one day rule or reign over the heart of the king. They were not noble, but they were very wealthy. And she was very well educated. So she had to learn how to draw. She had to learn how to paint. She had to learn how to play the harpsichord and stuff. All the stuff that they taught women at the time. It's Madame de Pompadour. So she was still called Reinette at this time.
Do we get
the
Pompadour from her?
The hair.
What do you mean? The hair?
Do we get the hairstyle? Do we call it a pompadour because from her?
Yeah, because of the pomp, the poofs that they had, the hair, I think it actually that's where it comes from.
Okay.
I would have to double check that because in my research that never came up, but they had poofy hair, so
yeah.
It stands to reason.
Or she just wore it all the time. So they're like, hey, there's the pompadour lady.
Well, she got the pompadour later on. She got the title later on. Right now she's still Reinette.
Okay.
And she's not that well known. Cause for a lot of the times you can't really get well known until you're married. If you're unmarried, you can't really participate in French society. So in this case, she had to get married. So she gets married to Charles Guillaume Lenormand des Etoiles. And she promised to be faithful to him unless it was the king.
They also had a celebrity list.
Yeah, they had a hall pass list.
And I guess you can't get bigger a celebrity than the king. It'd be like, you know, imagine. Yeah, I'll definitely fuck Brad Pitt if I saw Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? Like, that's always on, or whatever. But you're never going to meet that person. I guess if you're living there,
you might actually see the king. Yeah, so he was like, well, like, she lived at the edge of his hunting ground. So they were like, so she was like, okay. I can theoretically meet the king if I go out and like wear really fancy dresses. So I have here written, so homegirl planted herself in a conspicuous place and said, sup, 1700 style, which means to be conspicuous and intriguing.
So just basically hang around until they notice you.
Yeah, hang around until you're noticed. And it worked. The king sent her like venison and stuff.
Old school seduction was just like being weird enough for some dude to be like, hey, what's her deal?
Hey. If you think about it, modern dating rituals before the pandemic, you go to a bar and you wait for somebody to pick you up.
I never waited. That had never happened. But, you know, I guess. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. So she got venison out of it.
She got venison out of it. And then the king and her started to, like, see each other. And then the king and her started to, like, really see each other. So she had to go back to Charles Guillaume de Normand de Tolle and was like...
It's happening, bro.
So the king kind of came and called. You know how we had that, like... You know how we had that, like, freebies list and mine was just the king?
Oh my god.
I'm going to cash in on that.
That's like saying I'm going to make a hall pass list, but my hall pass list is our next door neighbor. You know what I mean? It's not really a hall pass list. It just means I can fuck our next door neighbor now.
And so she became the chief maitress or the maîtresse en titre. And so like this is an actual title that came with rooms and like she had to become noble. So they found her a title and that's how she got Madame de Pompadour, the Marquise de Pompadour, which was a title that wasn't being used. And so
gave her a brand new title.
But here's the thing. There's a lot of things about her that are really interesting and I want to go into it, but we have so much to go through. But one of the things that was really cool and really weird about her was that, so she was kind of cold by nature. So she and the king hit it off really well. They loved each other. She decided that after a while they would become best friends. And she told everybody they weren't going to be lovers anymore and they were going to become best friends. And instead of having someone be her rival, she provided the king with like a little deer park, like a little house full of teenagers that the king could like play around with. And then she could be the mistress.
They just don't make women like that anymore, you know?
I would totally do this.
It was called the Park All Serfs. Park All Serfs. Serfs. It's French.
Oh my god, a house of serfs. Okay, that's like a really demeaning thing to call your...
No, I mean, it's the word for deer. So it's like, it was literally the place where the deer... It was literally the park, the deer park house. And so she just used that house and like allowed him to have younger mistresses so that she wouldn't feel replaced. She would always have his ear. She would always be the best friend. She would always be the one with prominence. And then he could just play around with these girls in the Parc aux Cerfs.
Smart.
Right. Keep him distracted while you wield the real power.
Exactly. Because she was a very smart girl. She went to salons. She knew Voltaire.
Ooh, okay.
She was a very smart lady, but she was very cold by nature, according to her. She was just like not really a sexual person. And so I guess she wasn't jealous. Exactly. She wasn't jealous as long as the person wasn't going to be any sort of risk that they would usurp her in her position.
Because she provided them. So it's like...
Well, she more let it happen.
Oh.
She didn't really provide them. She more let it happen. She more was like, you can do this. Go ahead. Have your fun and then come back to me and we'll hang out.
And then we'll hang out.
And then she gets to have all the fun parts.
Like, I just don't want to fuck you, dude. Get all the horniness out of your system. Come to me and talk when you're straight. And, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to handle you when you're horny.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she passed away quite young of TB or lung cancer. She was 42.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that was Madame de Pompadour. And now we'll go on to Gregory Potemkin, who was sort of around the same time, like living around the same time as Madame de Pompadour, 1739 to 1791. What were we doing in the 1700s? The galleon trade. was up and running.
Nice.
Yeah.
More exploitation.
And we're still in the midst of poofy dress history. So everyone's got big poofy dresses, the kind that you have to kind of turn to get into like any doors. Yeah.
Like the underwire around the butt?
Yes, exactly. With the underwire around the butt. The like layers and layers of petticoats that you just had to have with like whale bone and stuff to make these giant dresses. Okay, so we're now to Grigory Potemkin, who was born in Smolensk, which I only know about because I play a lot of Civ. And Smolensk is one of the like Russian cities that you play a lot in Civ.
There it is.
And yeah, so he was born in Smolensk, but he went to Moscow because he wanted to be a soldier. And he quickly became pretty prominent. And during Catherine the Great's big coup to take over Russia, he provided her with a sword knot. And so he was sort of like on the down low, like around Catherine, when he was sort of this like dashing soldier, just sort of like hanging out nearby. Because Catherine is sort of the glittering. I need to do like a Catherine interlude. You can't talk about Potemkin without talking about Catherine. Catherine was the ruler of Russia from 1762 to 1796. She was 10 years older than Potemkin. Hello. And she married to Peter III, but overthrew him in a coup. She was enlightened and progressive. And apparently she and Potemkin were stupid cute. Just like passing notes to each other, like cutely, like talking to each other all the time, like giggling in the hallways. He would call her his little wife. She would call him his little husband, like that, like stupid, cute, dumb stuff. Wow. He would make her giggle and laugh and things like that. They may have even married in secret, and she paid all his gambling debts. And passionate. But he was always a little bit insecure about the fact that she had all the power in the relationship. So after like 2 years of being together, they both kind of started to see younger people. They both started to like look around a little bit, because like Catherine was not a faithful person. So like even though she loved him, you know, she would still sort of see other people. Like she would still see her exes from time to time, not necessarily romantically, but you know, she would see them and she would talk to them, and he would get so jealous, and she would just be like, but you're my favorite. And he would be like, doesn't matter.
You're my favorite.
So they decided that they would become minister and queen rather than lovers. And this actually made them stronger again. So he would actually introduce young lovers to Catherine to be like, oh, I think you'd like this guy here. Oh, I think you'd like this guy here.
See a pattern here for some successful mistressing.
Yeah, I call it soulmates before wholemates.
I love that.
But yeah. So Potemkin was described as an able minister, a sublime politician, a profound philosopher, and a child of 10. So that was the kind of person he was. He was like crazy, but also just like smart, but also like a lot to deal with. Like I imagine him being a lot to deal with. So that was Grigory. Yeah, he was a handful, Grigory Potemkin. He was vain, but also glorious. He was a general in her army, but also like would also be so insecure about the fact that she was always going to be above him in the relationship. So like, what do you
boo-hoo.
Do? So that's why he would just pimp out younger people to her.
Honestly, I like this whole setup. I think I'm just going to adopt a note from history and just funnel lovers towards my lovers. That's the secret just to be a like, long, happy
just be the person that's just like, here, look, I found this person that I think you'd really like.
To be fair, that is how
you need to you need to hang out with Janine a little bit more, all right? You need to incept this idea.
I'll do it.
Okay.
So they're now looking for alternative lovers.
Yeah, that's where we are. They're looking for alternative lovers, and basically that's how they stay until Potemkin dies. They're just sort of friends until he dies, and Catherine just sort of has to deal with his death and moves on. But she never fucked a horse.
What?
Sorry, that's the thing most people know about Catherine. Yeah,
little,
that's the thing most people know about Catherine. Oh, really? You've never heard the story?
The story of Mr. Hands
with Catherine. No,
the story of Catherine the Great and how her sexual appetite was so great that she needed to fuck a horse once. She never fucked a horse.
Yeah, I mean, like, why would you have your lover funneling other lovers to you?
Exactly. You have Potemkin. Why would you need it?
With my friends about which historical figures did or did not fuck a horse, and they bring up Catherine, I'll be like, nope, you guys are wrong.
Exactly.
Information I needed today.
Yeah, so that's it for part one of the history of mistresses and mistresses. Make sure to stay tuned for part two, where we'll talk about mistresses in more recent memory. So stay tuned for that.